Okay, good. I will try because let's see. Share
I'm going to go
screen.
off camera so my swinging doesn't make you dizzy.
Okay, we're on. Good. If everybody could please unmute yourself so we could all hear, unless you want to share something, we'd love to hear from you. Hi, good
Hi.
morning.
Good
Good morning,
morning.
everybody. Good morning, Aura, Acha, everybody, Tatiana, Judy. It's a pleasure to see everyone. And good morning. We're
Morning.
happy New Year. Hope that you had a wonderful time during the Chagim, during the Yom Tovim, during Tishrei, during Sukkot. And you know what? You all look so different. I don't recognize you. I don't know.
We
Is that
just got
you?
younger. We
You
got young, much younger. That's what it is.
Also, I don't know. We just experienced such a life-changing, neshama, soul-changing 2 months. We're not the same people that we were on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and certainly not the same that we were on the first of Tishrei and Rosh Hashanah. I feel like we just went through like an experience like Alice in Wonderland. The doors kept opening, and magical moments, magical days. First, it was Rosh Hashanah with the shofar that entered deep in our heart. Then Yom Kippur, we were angels. We wore white. Who could even think about eating? Oh, what's that? Then Sukkah, the tzchach was on top of us like a mother hovering over her children. The walls were a hug of Hashem. The guests, the avos came, the tzaddikim, the lulav, we shake it. As far as they shake it, it comes back to our heart. Then Simchas Torah, the amazing joy, the powerful exploding joy of the Torah. And like Judy, as you said in the beautiful introduction that you wrote for the new Zaman of Bas Medrash, that you eloquently wrote that we should bring it all to us, to every single day, and not leave it back there in Tishrei, but bring it into our lives. And it was such a beautiful encouragement. And Rabbi Nachman, after his students would come to him, the Hasidim, he'd say, "Run home, run home. We're so sad to leave. Run home. We enjoyed it so much." He said, "Run home and take with you all the love, all the kedusha, all the holiness, all the hisromas, all the inspiration that you gained over the holiday, and use it. Use it and live it in the days when you eat your Cheerios, when you pay your bank bill, when you go through the day. Use it and love it, and grow from it, and take it with you." So it's true, holidays are over. We're back to everyday life, the gray old me. And the Yetzer Hara, he's very smart and wily. He comes and says, "Tishrei was an exception. You prayed, you were close to God, you felt a connection with Hashem. Now you're back to the real you. Now you're back to the plain old Miriam." No, he's wrong. This is the real me. The real me was in Tishrei. The real me is the closeness and the excitement and the love and the wow of serving Hashem, of being his daughter. And like Doba taught me, she heard from Rebbetzin Heller Gottlieb, and this is this week's parsha, when Chava listened to the Yetzer Hara and he said to her something she should not have responded. When you get a call from someone you don't know, don't answer the phone and start talking. Don't give them a foot into the door, and just ignore him. There's no conversation with the Yetzer Hara. We just turn our back to him and learn from Chava what not to do. So each of you look so new. I want to get reacquainted. Hi, my name is Miriam. And hi, Judy. Hi. Hi, everyone. Ruthie, I don't see you, but I see your name. Elisheva, I'm waving to you. And it reminds me of my mother, may she rest in peace. She had a wonderful sense of humor and she had a great love and joy of life. So when she'd look in the mirror, she was already older, like 80, 84. She'd look in the mirror and she'd say, "Why? This mirror it must be broken. It's not working. I'm going to try another one." Then she'd go to another mirror in the house. "Wow, this also is broken. I think we have to replace all the mirrors in the house." So anyway, with us, we can keep the mirrors going because we all look, like you said, Tatiana, younger and more full of life and the real life, the closeness to Hashem. I want to start, if you would please join me with a saying Tehillim for all of the people that are sick and Refuah Shleima, and all that are well should stay well. It's 134. Shir Malos Hinei Borchos Adonai Kol Avdei Adonai Ha'omdim B'Veis Adonai B'Leilons. So Uyadecham Kodesh Uvarchas Adonai. Yivarachacha Adonai Mitzion. Oisei Shemayim Varetz. Shem, please give her full shleima to all those who need. And on the list is Techava Leah Bas Esther, Alon Yehuda Yosef Ben Chana Miriam, Avraham Ben Rovido, and my dear brother is waiting for an answer from the doctor for a test he took last week. His name is Yoel Mordechai Ben Chaika, a wonderful, wonderful, loving brother, a great guy.
Amen. And my sister, Valentina Chaya Bat Rosa. And the doctor Zelenka, if we may. Zev Ben Leah.
Yes. Shalema. So, my dear friends, we're about to embark together in another world. It's the beginning. It's Bereshis. It's excitement of starting the Torah anew and afresh. It's not a repeat of last year. It's not like, you know, the repeats that I saw it already. No, it's so many foundations in Judaism and so much new. Adam, the first man, was initially created to live 1,000 years. He gave 70 of those 1,000 years to King David, who had no life. And he gave him a present, so he lived 930. And the whole point of his 1,000 years learning was to learn just the first verse of Bereshis, the first verse of the Torah. Bereshis bara Elokim, the beginning Hashem created Hashemayim es haaretz, the heaven and earth. The Rishon Rebbe, may he rest in peace, said that all the Torah, the entire 5 books of Moses, is contained in the book of Bereshis. And the whole book of Bereshis is contained in the Parsha, in the Sedra, in the weekly reading of Bereshis. And the whole Parsha of Bereshis is contained in the first verse, the first Pasuk. And the entire first Pasuk is contained in the word Bereshis. And the whole word Bereshis is found in the first letter of the base. And the whole letter base is found in the dot that makes up the base in the middle. Now, I don't understand a word of that. If you do, please put it on the chat and help me out. But I know it's powerful. Something very big is going on here, and we're all a part of it. Ashreinu, how fortunate we are. Bereshis bara Elokim. In the beginning, Hashem created. And if we look at the words, Bereshis bara Elokim, and we take the last letters, as I'll show you, going up the elevator. Oh boy, hope we get to all this. Bereshis, in the beginning, Hashem created the whole world, the heaven and the earth. Bereshis. Now the last three letters, as you can see, there's a Saf, an Aleph, and a Mem. And that spells out the letter truth. The last three letters form the word emes, truth. How? Well, here's the Saf, here's the Aleph, and the Mem, it's a final Mem, but if we use it as a regular Mem, it makes up the word emes, truth. This is Hashem created his world with truth. Truth is the main existence of Hashem's world. Hashem's signature is truth. The truth of Hashem is a special truth. It's emes lamito. It's the truth of truths. It's a very, very high, lofty truth. It's higher than the truths of the angels, as we will soon see. It says here, I'm reading from Likutei Halachos, that Bereshis bara Elokim, the last letters are emes, to show us that every single Jewish person has a part in God's Torah. Because what is God's truth? It is to bring us close to him. It is to bring every single Jew close to God and to his Torah. Because some people are so truthful in quotes that they say, why? I just messed up so much. I'm never going to be able to repent on that one. That was too big. It's just, I'm not cut out for it. That's my truth. I don't want to be like two-sided or two-faced. I'm going to be very truthful. And I just feel that the honest truth is that I just can't make it. I can't. It's not for me. That's the truth of the Yetzer Hara. That's not God's truth. Because listen to these words. Shem Yisbaruch Eino Chafetz Be'emes Kazeh. Hashem does not want that type of truth. And what did he do? He threw truth down to the ground, which we'll see in a moment. Hashem Yisbaruch Chafetz Be'emes Kazeh. What type of truth does God, Hashem, want? Shu Lekarev V'lo Lerachek. It's the truth that brings us closer to him and his Torah, and not brings us farther away, as we will see inside. Bereshis bara Elokim, God created in the beginning. Our rabbis explained that God created the world for the sake of the Torah and for the sake of the nation of Israel. We are actually one. The three of us are one. God, his Torah, and us, the people of Israel, are all one. And that's why he created a whole world, so that we should keep his Torah. And Rabbi Simon said, this is Medrash Reishis Rabbah, B'shah Shabbat Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Ros HaSodom Rishon, when God came to create the first man, a lot of the angels came, some deciding, yeah, he should be created, some thinking, we're of the opinion, no, he shouldn't. MS, which he said is the word truth. Remember, it's the three letters that begin the whole Torah, the last letters, Bereshis Bara Elokim. MS came and said, don't create man. Shkulo shkarim, the whole world is full of lies, sheker, deceit. Don't create man. How did God react? Ma asa kadosh baruch hu. That tal emes, he took that truth, the hishlicha la'aretz, and he threw it down on the ground. Like it says in Daniel, the prophet Daniel, v'tashlech emes aretz, God threw truth, that truth, to the ground. That is truth versus emes la'mita, which is Hashem's truth, the truth of truths. Nassim continues in Lukotei Lachas, l'famim nofadam, sometimes a person falls and he is far from Hashem because he knows the truth. He knows that in truth he messed up so badly that he gives up. He gives up. But the truth is, the real truth, Hashem's truth, he should strengthen himself, get away from this type of truth, because it's the Yetzirah's truth, it's not Hashem's truth, and come back to Hashem. Hashem's truth is to bring us close and not far. And we're going on in Bereshis. I want to ask you, did anyone see or prepare the sources inside of the Pasuk and the Rashi that we're bringing from Bereshis? If so, please unmute and be your turn to read. We're starting with Bereshis Aleph, verse 31. And if not, so okay, you get stuck hearing me some longer. Okay. Anybody? Okay, Bayar.
I would read if you want.
Oh, we'd love it, Judy. Thanks.
I just want to mention that it's every week, the Mirz Hashem, it's going to be in the email, and it's also going to be on the website. So you'll have a chance to look at the sources before the class and hopefully prepare.
Great. Hopefully every week with Hashem's help.
All right. V'yar Elokim es kol asher asah, hine tov ma'od, v'yi erev, v'yi voker yom hashishi. So Hashem saw that what he had done was good, very good, and it was evening and it was morning on the sixth day. Ha.
Beautiful. Ha, the sixth. What does Rashi say, Judy?
Rashi says, Hosif hey, the shishi, digmar ma'ase bereshis. So he, the letter hey, okay, I'll just read what you wrote, which the numerical value of which is five, is added to the word shishi when the work of creation was complete. Somebody else want to read?
Can I just add something that I recall, Miriam?
Yeah, sure.
That the sixth day refers to the sixth month, Ani Choshevet, which is the month the Torah was given, that it was already built in there.
Beautiful, that the whole creation was looking forward to the sixth day of Sivan when the Torah would be given, because that was the whole purpose of creating the whole world.
Yes, I recall that.
Beautiful, thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. So, Judy?
Yeah?
Hi.
Oh, more? Okay. I have a little trouble reading it, to tell you the truth. Lamar, of course, okay. Lamar, Shehisna Imahem. Okay, so it implies that he made a stipulation with them. Amanashiki blu Alehem Yisrael Kamisha Chumshe Torah. That on the condition that they accept upon themselves, that Israel accepts upon itself, the five books of the Torah.
Beautiful. Just a little comment on that. You see, every day was called, let's say, Yom Hashishi, the sixth day. Other days were called Yom Rivi, fourth day, Yom Chamishi, fifth day. So Rashi is asking, what's this ha? Why is there the sixth day? And Judy so beautifully explained to us that it's five, ha. If we add five and we go to the five books of Moses, that's the whole reason the world was created, that we, the Jewish people, should keep the five, which is a miracle value of hay, books of Moses. And that was the stipulation on which the world was created from Shabbos, Gemara of Shabbos. Then there's another reason, and this is has to do with what Phyllis explained to us. If it's hard for you or it's not clear, it's not
okay. Anybody else? Really, just jump in here.
What happened on Shabbat? You didn't come over, did you?
Okay. Baruch Her. Yom HaShishi. So another explanation on this Yom HaShishi. Kulam Tuluya Va'omdim Ad Yom HaShishi. So that is everything, all of creation was standing and was dependent and standing, I guess, in suspense until the sixth day.
Yeah, I stay in that room anyway, usually.
If anybody is unmuted, please unmute yourself, or rather mute yourself, so we can hear Judy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is what Phyllis said. Hu Vav Sivan, that's the sixth day. Everything was waiting until the sixth day. So this is, it's talking about the sixth day of Sivan, Amuchan the Matan Torah, which was prepared, which was destined to be the day of the giving of the Torah.
Thank you very much. We see Hashem created the world for the sake of the Torah and for the sake of Israel, because the people of Israel, Torah and Hashem are all one. And let's, about that truth we were talking about a couple minutes ago, thank you very much, Judy. About the truth, let's not be fooled by the truth of the Yetzer Hara. How can we protect ourselves? How can we make sure that we don't fall into this trap of, whoa, it's not, I can't, I'm giving up on myself, I can't get better, I can't. Well, how can we distinguish the truth from the lack of truth? Or what we really are going after, we're going after, you know, the whole pot, the truth of truths. We're going after that. One, we could ask Hashem, like it says in Tar, Hareini Hashem Darkecha, Alech Bamitacha, show me your way, I will go in your truth. I want your truth, Hashem. And we should pray for sincere eyes, that we look on the world sincerely through the eyes of Hashem. Shivisi Hashem, we look always at Hashem, what do you want? What do you feel? What is your truth? Like Hashem said to Shmuel, person looks at, what did he say? He said, Adam, year 99, he said to Samuel, the prophet, when he came and didn't want to crown King David because he was the youngest and he was in trouble and he was very, very embarrassed by everyone. He was lowly. Hashem said to prophet Samuel, Shmuel, ki Adam, year 99, a person sees to the eyes, v'niyer lalev, and I see into the heart. Let us ask Hashem that we should look through the outer surface of gruff or not keeping Shabbos or not keeping Torah or looking harsh a person and look through to see his inner beautiful soul, the real beauty of the person, the real closeness of the real pure soul inside of each and every one of us. And then we will hopefully, our perspective will change and may we grow and refine our eyes ourselves to the real truth. Do you ever see pictures? I saw pictures of myself 5 years ago. And I said, what? I wore that? Was I crazy? What was I thinking of? Okay, it's true. Tastes change and person matures. He's not going to wear the same type of clothing at 20 and then at 40 or 60. But 5 years ago, what was I? And it's more than just that. It was a statement. This is who I am. This is who I want to be. I felt that's represented me, or that was the person I felt part of in my clothing. And even that, it's a small example, but it hits home, because even that, like, what was I thinking of? Where was I? We change, and we ask Hashem that our emes, our honesty, our truthfulness always changes towards Him, towards the emes lamito, towards His truth of bringing closer and not farther. Hashem, please give me true eyes that will see the goodness of others and myself, the eyes that will see through the outer layers, the pure beauty of the soul inside, a truth that will bring us closer and not farther, your truth. My dear friend Esther Krieger sent me a very, very beautiful short. I want to show it to you, and then it talks for itself. Hope you enjoyed as I did.
Yeah.
Wow, how was that? I was amazed by that.
Unbelievable. Yes. Unbelievable.
May we never be fooled. May we hold tight to your truth, Hashem. Now, you see, we started with Bereshit, even though that was 2 days ago, and we want to talk about Noach the upcoming week, but how could we leave off Bereshit, this fundamental Bereshit, like the Rishon Tzarevi said, the whole world is in the dot, in the letter of the base of Bereshit. So now we're going to go on to Noach, which is this coming week's Parsha. And I learned a lot from Rabbi Finkelman, who gave a beautiful class on Noach to teach us the love of Hashem. And, you know, when we read a novel, it could be the best 10. It could be on the best 10 list for the whole decade, you know, the whole 2000 till 2010, coming decade, last decade. Till 220. And when we read it the first time, we get emotional at certain parts, we get frightened at other parts. But once we've read it once, twice, maybe three times, if it's really top 10 forever, it's gonna be boring. Been there, done that. Lahavdil, lahavdil, the Torah, it lives with us. The Torah, it's magic. The Torah is ours, and the Torah is, each time we learn it, we have new insights, new doors are open. New secrets, powerful, powerful, enlightening experience each time. Each time I'm a different person when I read it, and my kelim, my vessels are deeper, and I'm ready to grow with it. And this is the Heilig Torah. This is the Torah. And let us start in Noach, through the share screen here. This is the Pasuk chapter 6, Pasuk 9. Eila told us Noach. Did anyone prepare, or would anybody like to read the Pasuk and the Rashi? Going once, going twice. Hi, Shimmy. Okay, so we're on. If anyone wants to, please just unmute. Eile toldos Noach. These are the generations of Noach. Noach ish tzadik tamim. Noach was a perfect tzadik, not just a tzadik, but a perfect tzadik. Haya bidarosav in his generation. Es Elokim yisalech Noach. Noach walked with Hashem, with God. And what does Rashi say on Ela told us Noach, Noach ish tzaddik? He says that this teaches you, because he's talking about the toldos of Noach. The word toldos means offspring, right? The who he gives birth to. So it's about to say he gave birth to three sons, Cham, Shem, Yafes. But first it says, this is the toldos Noach, the generations of Noach, Noach ish tzaddik, because we are our first and most important child. We are the child of ourselves. We have to work to become a better child, a better adult, a better person. And then the Torah goes on to say he had three children and their names. But Rashi is teaching us that the Iker told us, Sehem shal tzadikim masim toivim. Our main offspring is good deeds. It's what we do, what we make of ourselves, what we do in this world from the second we say Moida'ani till at night when we say Baruch Hamapul and our eyes are falling asleep and we're like, we can't move. What did we do that day? What did we do yesterday? What are we planning for today? That's our main child. Once we can be whoever we can be, then our children will watch us. It's not what they're going to learn. More is taught. More is caught than taught. It's what they catch, our reactions, what's important to us. Do we daven in the morning or wait till, you know, 2 seconds later before we're not allowed to anymore? Do we make a bracha out loud? Do we, when somebody has good news, do we say, I'm so happy for her, instead of, oh, I wish my kitchen would be that nice? No, that's how they learn. So first, we're our best child. We're our first child. Ela told us Noach. And then Rashi goes on to say he was an ish tzaddik bidorosav in his generation. So why did the Torah add bidorosav in his generation? Just say, he was a big tzaddik, tzaddik tamim, in fact, a perfect tzaddik, and Hashem saved him from the mabul. But there's a word, bidorosav. And Rashi says on this, yesh me'rab, some of our, in the interest of time, say it in English, you have the Hebrew. Some of our rabbis explained this word, bidorosav, in his generations for his credit, that he was so great in his generation, living in a harlem, living in a place that was immoral and people that were bad. Had he lived in a generation of righteous people like Abraham, 10 generations later, he would have been even more righteous, owing to the force of good example. Say, tov le tzaddik, tov le shcheinav, how good it is to be neighbors of a tzaddik. We see him being nice. We see him caring. We see him running off to shul. We see him doing what's important in life. We learn from him. Here, Noah was in Harlem, and he was so great, tzaddik tamim. How much greater he would have been in Abraham's generation, seeing Abraham, seeing the other tzaddikim. Yet, Rashi goes on, yesh shedorshim oso lignai. There are others, other chazal, other rabbeim, that explained the Torah, that explained it to his discredit. The Fidoro, according to who he was, he was a tzaddik. But if he'd been in the generation of Abraham, he would have been lost in the shuffle. He would have been lo nachshav liklum. He would have been a nothing. You know, a person grows up in Harlem, becomes a big doctor. Then he goes to Harvard and he's lost because there's a lot of other big doctors there. Excuse me for Harlem, I just came out. I didn't mean anything. I'm sure there's a lot of nitzutzot, a lot of good sparks there. So others explain it to his discredit that he would have been nothing. And now, this is something that we have to understand. This is something that's hard to understand, actually, because it says in the Torah that you should always, always look for the good. You should always judge a person to the side of merit. And yet here, why are the rabbis saying something negative? Why are they even bringing into the picture that Gnai, that he would have been worse 10 generations later? Why don't we just keep it at that? Why do we look for the bad? And the part later, in a couple more parshas from today, in a couple weeks, we see that Elabakar Ratz Abraham. Abraham, there were three guests. He thought they were Arabs, and he washed the dust off their feet first to take any avodah zarah off. And then he invited them in, and he gave them such honor, and he took such good care of them. He made a tongue with mustard, Rashi says, for each of them. That means he had to slaughter three cows. And so one of them ran away. And it says over there, Vel HaBakar Ratz Avram. Avram ran after the bakar, the cow. And if you take the same letters of bakar, base, kuf, resh, and you switch it around, it comes out to kever. grave. The Bakar was really the angel Gavriel. He ran away, far away. Abraham chased him because he needed all three for his guests. And he stopped at Maros HaMachpelah, the place where Abraham is buried, the place where the Avos Imahos are buried, would be buried. Abraham chased him there. And he said, wow, this is a nice burial place. I see Adam and Eve are here. I want to buy this place. I want it for myself one day. And actually 38 years later, he would buy it for his wife, Sarah. And he saw Chava in there in Sarah. And you know what Chava said to Adam? He said, she said, I don't want Abraham buying this cave. I don't want him to be buried here with Sarah. Sarah was a good wife. Sarah never tried to convince her husband to sin. I'm going to look bad. No, okay, Eve, okay. I'm the mother of everyone. But once Sarah comes, Rivka, Leah, I'm going to look terrible compared to them. So there's such a thing that a person is compared to who else he is. If he would have been in Abraham's generation, he would have been considered nothing. And in his generation, he was great. He was Tzadik Tamim. But in Kedoshim, it says, "B'tzedek tishpon amisecha," you should judge each other to the side of favor. If we could stay at this wonderful explanation, the rabbi said that he was so great that he would have been greater in Abraham's generation. Why don't we stay there? Why do we have to go to the negative? And we see that Hashem didn't just say he's a tzaddik, but tzaddik tamim. And so why do we have to go to Gennai? Why do we have to go to the second explanation? That he would have been nothing? Could have said, okay, if he'd be in a better class, he might not be the top guy in the class, but he'd be amongst the 10% top. But to say in Abraham's generation, he'd be klum, nothing? It's a little harsh. Falling from tzaddik tamim to klum, nothing? We have to understand this. Yeah. Now let's go back to the Torah. Why did Hashem say that he was a tzaddik bedo rosav? What did that add to teach us? Could have said he was a tzaddik, bedo rosav. And later on, God says, we can find it hopefully soon. He said to, here it is in chapter 7, Hashem said to Noah, go into your teva, into the ark, because I've seen that you are tzaddik, bedo hazeh, in this generation. Why twice did Hashem have to emphasize in this generation? Because it could go either way, as we saw, for good or for bad. What is Hashem teaching us? Hashem, what is the message here? Hashem never ever gives us, it says one word in the Torah that's extra. Even the word, kaved es avicha, you should honor your father. What's es? Say kaved avicha, honor your father. Es l'rabos achicha gadol. That's to teach us you should honor your older brother. That's one word, and it teaches us another halacha, another law that Hashem wants us to know and to keep. And so why did Hashem say twice he was a tzaddik tamim in his generation? And go to the ark, for I found you righteous in this generation. Abraham, later on it says, it says, es alokim hisalech Noach. God, Noach walked with God. With God. And God, and let's look at this word, Elohim, is the God, is the character of justice. It's the strictness of God. Whereas later in Bereshis Chaf Dalet, it says, Abraham, God before whom I walked. I walked before Abraham. Abraham was stronger. Abraham could walk on his own. He didn't need, so to speak, the support of Hashem. He was so sure in his righteousness. He was so confident in his emunah and bitachon, in his belief in God. He wasn't afraid that Rishayim around him will sway him, will take him away, will say, hey, you want to come with me to the movies on Shabbos? Okay, it's Shabbos, but it's a really good movie and today's the last day it's being shown. Forget such a strong example. You want to come with me to the movies? Okay, it's movies, but you know what? It's a really good movie. Let's go on Tuesday. He wasn't afraid of any of that because he loved Hashem so much. And it says, Abraham goes before God, whereas Noah, as we see, walked with God. As Elohim Yisalech, he needed Hashem to hold him up and to support him. He was not confident in his level of steadfast faith and in strength in the mitzvahs. And again, we see the difference of the words of which type of Hashem's character and which traits. Noah walked with Elohim, the trait of justice, of strictness, and Abraham walked before Hashem, as it says, Asher ha-salachti lefanav, before God, which is which is the Hashem, which is the trait of mercy, the trait of loving kindness. And so what is the difference? And how can we learn? What do we learn from this? Well, Torah is teaching us something. The Torah is teaching us that there's a difference. Noah was tzaddik tamim, no question about it. Noah was a pure tzaddik, but he was a pure tzaddik of fear of Hashem. He was afraid of Hashem. And so b'dorasav, that was very, very great. There are two levels. There are two levels in serving God. One is fear and one is ahava, a love. And we cannot get to love until we go through fear. Love is higher. Love is what we're aiming for, but we cannot get to it before we first fear Hashem. First, we fear Hashem, and then the magic of, we fear punishment, we fear, we're afraid, and then the magic of learning and keeping Torah will bring us to the love of Hashem. Hashem, I want to please you. I want to do your will because I love you so much. And you love me so much. I'm afraid to do anything that will hurt you because I love you so much. As we go back to the word Bereshis, remember the word Bereshis? There's a base in there, which is two. And then the next of the word, next letters are Reshis, beginning. There were two beginnings, two fundamental types of service of God that Hashem created the world with. One is Ahava and one is fear. One is love and one is Yira. Love and fear. We start with Yira. Now, if love is so much greater, why don't we start with love? Well, the Nesivos Shalom gives an example of why. When we build a house, we have to make a very strong foundation. We dig very, very deep and we put cement down there. And without that foundation, we can have a beautiful edifice. But you know, a big tornado, after which it come, a windstorm, the whole thing can fall down. The foundation is the fear. Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. The beginning, foundation of true wisdom, the wisdom of Hashem, is Yira, is fearing God. It begins with fear, a relationship with Hashem, and grows to love. If we only loved God, then if he would test our faith, we could fall. But the foundation of fear, even when we suffer, God forbid, we will not sin. Avram was the pinnacle of love, of kindness. And he was tested. He was willing to do anything, to go into a Kivshan HaEsh, into a fiery furnace, because he loved Hashem so much. His love was higher than that of Noah. Noah was at his service was a lower, it was fear. And therefore, even though he was tzaddik tamim, even though he was pure in his service of Hashem, it was lower than Abraham. And this is how Hashem is teaching us. We cannot start to love Hashem until we do his mitzvos. He gave us 613 mitzvos to share his love with us, to bring out and to develop our love with him. We give. When a person gives, he starts to love. As Reb Dessler said, the word ahava has inside love, hav, hey base, to give. And the more we give, takers don't really love. Takers are demanders, takers don't really love. Parents, what's an example of the highest love? Parents, from day one, they give their child. And how do we love them back? By giving back to them, by honoring them. How do we love Hashem? We give charity, we give a bracha, a shahakol, we develop love. Rabbi Levy, may he be well, a teacher in Detroit. Later he taught in Neve Yerushalayim, if anybody knows him from there. If you want your kid to love you, what do? Ask him to throw out the garbage. By his giving, he will love you. And so this was not Lashon Hara at all. The rabbis who said the second perush, the second explanation, that he would not have been considered in the 10 generations later because he was holding by fear. And love is so much greater. Love is so much higher in the service of God. And that's what we are taught to aspire to aspire to loving Hashem. And Avraham Avinu loved Hashem so much that he was willing to give his life for Hashem. He was willing to sacrifice Yitzchak, who he loved. And God promised him, your children will be through Yitzchak. And Yitzchak, at the time of the Akedah, when he was going to be sacrificed, was not even yet married. But this is the highest motivation. The highest motivation is love. May we reach that and may we come to both fear Hashem and love Hashem. Now,
Miriam?
Yes.
I just wanted to add something I learned this Shabbos, which is a little R-rated, but in reference to Ish Tzaddik, righteous, quote, in his generation, the generation was very perverse. Every man had two wives, one for childbearing and one who was given poison to stay beautiful. Noach was the only one that had one wife in that generation. So he epitomized walking with Hashem, meaning he was the example of one man, one wife. And for that reason, her name is not even mentioned in the Torah, because it's such a, her name is Na'ama, which I also just learned. But they don't need to mention her name because her presence in the story is just so stellar. So when you say Ish Tzaddik Bador in the generation, that's what was going on, and that's how he was different. And that was really enlightening, the Shabbos to read. So
beautiful. Very important and very enlightening. Thank you, Phyllis. Thank you very much. I wanted to give us good news now, something encouraging, because we're living through very confusing times. Corona, what will life be like? When will Hashem take it away? Will it be today or tonight? And it's confusing. Bereishis, it's a new beginning, but we jump right into the Mabul of Noah, where there's apikorses and people, God forbid, that don't believe in Hashem, and everything is confusing. And Hashem says, Bo el ha-teva, come. I'll protect you. Come. I have something very, very good for you. And so the Chassam Sofer said years ago when he lived that Tafshin Pei, which was last year, is going to be a difficult year. And Tafshin Pei Aleph, which we're just starting now, it's going to be a great year. And I just want to show you something. Yay! Mirtz Hashem. That encouraged me very much and gives a lot of hope. So bear with me. And here we go. It says in... Okay, let's take a draw here. Make sure it's purple. Good, we're on. Rabbi Nachman says in Sefer Amidos under Amuna 51 that Mashiach Yavo Bishnas Bracha. Mashiach will come in the year of Bracha, in the year of blessings. So let's take the word Bracha and write it out. The year of blessing. There's a base there. We know base from Bereshis, right? Bracha, Aresh. Chaf, and hey, that's the word bracha. Everybody with me so far? So far, so good. Now, something some of us don't know, which I also didn't know till very recently, or managed to forget, could happen. Every letter can be spelled into a word. Let's take an example, the letter lamed. Okay, this is a letter, lamed, right? Lollipop, Leah, Lishon. Lech Lishon, go to sleep, see what's on my mind, Lamed. Now you can take this letter and you can spell it out. How would you spell out the letter Lamed? Well, just how it sounds, L-A-M-I-D. Lamed, Mem, Dalet. That's how you spell out the letter Lamed. Lamed turns into a word. It's spelled Lamed, Mem, Nun. Let's take another example, Shin, the letter Shin, okay? You say Shin, like Shah, or Shabbos. Right? Shabbos Shuva. Okay? Shin. Would you spell out the letter Shin to turn it into a word? That's just how it sounds. Shin, Yud, Nun. Now we have the letter Shin in a word. We have the letter Lamed in a word. Hang on, I have a eraser here. So much fun. Way back from childhood. I should pay you. Okay, so we got it. Now let's go back to Bracha. And see what it spells out. Now we know the secret. Every letter has a word. So bracha starts with a base. How would you think to spell base? Well, let's try. Base, yud, sof. That's the letter base. Base, bait. Some people call it bait. Bait, letter aleph bait. Then the letter resh is easy. Resh, shin. That's how you spell the letter resh. Resh shin. Maybe put a yud in there for good keeping. Base is base yud tav. Resh is resh yud shin. Resh. Now, the letter chaf starts with a chaf if we want to turn it into a word and ends with a fe. This is a fe. Right? Chaf fe spells the letter chaf. And hey, if we want to make it into a word, it's spelled hey, Aleph. Who can yell? Who can tell us what we got in the year of Bracha Mashiach?
Oh, that's fantastic. Tav Shin Pei Aleph. Yay! This is the Bracha year.
Say that this is the year, and this is the month, and this is the day. Now, it's a process. It's a process. It might not happen overnight. And so you can pack up, but don't pack everything, you know?
Might happen the 10th month, the 10th day.
Right, right.
Pretty good. Who knows?
Keep your milk in the fridge. You can start packing, but this is a process. Rabbi Zachariah Wallerstein said, it's like the birth process. And it takes a while. It's like back on the Seder of Pesach. Does everyone remember that we were packing up? We were ready. Eliyahu Navi's going to come. And we were so disappointed he didn't come because of Corona. We thought, oh, it's all pointing to that. It is pointing to that. Corona was, hopefully, a big step forward, a big jump forward towards Mashiach. He's not here yet. It is a process. Hopefully he'll come very, very soon. Rabbi Zachariah Wallerstein says we're in the stages of labor. We've waited the 9 months and we're really towards the end, towards the beginning of Mashiach. And based on what we said before, let's look for the good with the eyes of Hashem, with the eyes of Emes Lamito. Let's look through the eyes of truth, the truth of truths, to see his love, to see Hashem's love. And let's exercise our eye muscles, our hearts spiritually. And I would like to ask you if any of you have a Corona perk, a something short 2 minutes, because at 11 o'clock we disappear into cyber world. But if anyone has a 2 minute something to share of something good that happened because of Corona or through Corona, so we can thank Hashem, but Tsar Hechavtali, in the difficult times you have given us a width. You have given us something wide. You have shown us love in the times that we see difficulty, and that's where you're hiding behind the difficulty. And
I have.
Oh, great! We'd love to hear from Tatiana. You're on. Thank you.
Okay. I was scheduled for the test, which I couldn't change in Haifa during the lockdown, the last one. And it was the first day of Sukkot. And I had to stay there, not with my sister, but luckily the friend who is in America right now offered me to stay in her place. It's on the seventh floor. And I've been there for 5 days. And Baruch Hashem, in a religious neighborhood, not Haredi, but very religious in Haifa. So I'm there. I went to the shul on Friday morning, asked them if they will have a service, and I stayed alone. First day of Sukkot, and I stayed alone. But then I looked at the picture of my friend's husband, who was a man several years ago when they just came. He became religious, and he was bringing non-religious people, including my nephew, into the house. I didn't know them at that time. So, and there's his picture because several years ago, he brought all these non-religious people for Shabbat and his family, and it was a big table. He made the kiddush and died on Shabbat. And here I was alone on the first day of Sukkot at this huge table when this tzaddik was, whom I never knew. And I davened at night, and then I said, I'm not in a sukkah, it's the first day of sukkahs. And then I looked through the window, and there is a building, four stories, and there is a sukkah on the roof. And people were walking in, family that I didn't know, they didn't know. So I joined them like on Zoom, and I had my Shabbat table set, and I was right there in the sukkah on the first day of Sukkot with the whole family of this tzaddik who passed away on Shabbos by making the kiddush. That's my story about Corona.
Beautiful, beautiful, thank you. Thank you so much. Hashem gave you a sukkah on Sukkot.
And it's all in our brain. And Corona, we put crown on the head. It's all in the head.
And we crown Hashem's head.
Right.
Like she said, we say the bracha 2 weeks later for rain so everyone could get home. Shem, like Phyllis, like you said, Shem cares and worries about each of us. The poor person, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, the Holy of Holies, has to undo his prayer so we could have rain. So much Hashem loves each of us. Thank you. And next week, if anyone wants to share a couple minutes of the brachas that we see within things that seem difficult, love to hear from you. Thanks so much, and a happy
Miriam.
To all of you. Only brachas and a good chodesh.
Thank Amen. You, chodesh tov.
Amen, chodesh tov.
Miriam.
Ruthie says, Corona gave us the Bas Medrash on Zoom. Not a bad thing.
That's big.
It's huge. Thanks, Miriam. This is great.